Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, March 5th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
China cuts its target for economic growth.
President Trump seeks to end key trade concessions for India.
A Japanese court approves bail for Carlos Ghosn.
Shares of Salesforce slide after a disappointing forecast.
And Target kicks off a big week for U.S. retail earnings.
President Trump's attorney general says he won't recuse himself in the Mueller probe. Plus, a treatment spurs hope for curing HIV. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A lopsided, much-needed win for the Nets over Dallas at the Barclays Center to end a three-game losing streak. Another Knicks loss in Sacramento.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And we're seeing a mixed picture for global stocks this morning. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 4 points this morning. Dow futures up 43. NASDAQ futures up 11. The DAX in Germany, little change now. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.55%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.1% or 6 cents to $56.52 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $2.10 to $12.85.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.1323. The yen, 111.96. And this data check brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker in 2019 by Barron's. Find out why. Visit ibkr.com/yib to learn more. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in China, where the government's announcing a new lower target for economic growth. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from the National People's Congress gathering in Beijing.
The key figure is that GDP target. They have softened it as expected to between 6 and 6.5% for the year of 2019. Remember that back in 2018, the target was around 6.5%. The economists that we've surveyed suggest that we're on track for about 6.2% so far this year. We've also had that deficit target, and that is important because it gives us an indication as just to how much fiscal room policymakers here have to support the economy. So they have raised that target, giving themselves scope to put in place those fiscal measures.
And that target budget deficit will be set at 2.8% of GDP. Meanwhile, the 6 to 6.5% growth target would be the slowest pace in almost three decades.
Tax cuts were also announced to help boost China's manufacturing sector that helped lift stocks in Shanghai, while equities in Japan, South Korea, and Australia slumped. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from our Singapore bureau.
The Shenzhen Composite climbed over 2% as foreigners bought Chinese shares for a sixth day via the Stock Connect. The Shanghai Composite remained at eight-month highs, rising close to 1%. Central banks were in focus as both the RBA and Central Bank of Malaysia kept rates on hold. The Aussie fell to a three-week low as a measure of trade's contribution to GDP missed estimates, adding to expectations the central bank could cut interest rates in coming months. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. In Japan, a court has approved bail for former Nissan Motor chairman Carlos Ghosn, but prosecutors are appealing. Bloomberg's Dave McCombs is covering the story from Tokyo.
There's still an array of charges that have been floated around that have yet to be actually laid and yet to be put into an indictment. So it is possible that he could be rearrested on new charges. That's what they would have to do to keep him behind bars.
And Japanese news media report Ghosn's release could come tomorrow at the earliest.
Back here in the U.S., President Trump has announced plans to end key trade preference programs for India and Turkey, and it's the latest move by the White House to counter so-called unfair trade practices. Bloomberg's PR Sanjay reports on the impact from Mumbai.
Most of the IT companies, textile companies, auto companies are going to be affected. And one would recall that the total import bill to U.S. in 2017 was around $6 billion. So that much impact we are expecting. Analysts and traders are saying that this is quite going to be the negative for currencies. Sales will also be impacted if it goes through.
And President Trump can still walk back his notice to terminate the trade preference programs if India and Turkey satisfy the administration's concerns.
All right, turning to corporate news now. Shares of Salesforce.com are down almost 2% after a disappointing earnings report. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Nate, while fourth quarter revenue topped forecasts, investors are focusing on soft guidance from the company. Salesforce offered lower than expected forecasts for fourth quarter earnings and revenue. And this is raising concern. The rapid pace of the cloud software maker's growth has stalled as it matures into a larger company. Salesforce made its name by helping corporate clients better target, communicate, and understand customers. And now they have to communicate with investors about how they can keep up a torrid pace. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. A big week for retail earnings beginning today when Target reports results. Here at the preview, Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence says Target had a strong holiday season and the retailer should be able to sustain momentum into the current quarter. Target has invested heavily in store updates, private brands, competitive pricing, and new services. Today's report should have few surprises since Target issued preliminary data in January. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thanks. The maker of OxyContin is reportedly facing bankruptcy. According to the Wall Street Journal, Purdue Pharma is hiring advisors to prepare for a possible bankruptcy filing. The move comes as the drug maker faces hundreds of lawsuits over its role in the U.S. opioid epidemic.
Meanwhile, on today's economic calendar, we get data on U.S. services and manufacturing. Here with details, Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
The ISM non-manufacturing index for January dropped to the lowest in 6 months, but we could see a turnaround today. Looking beyond January, Bloomberg Economics says the service sector is robust, supported by the strong labor market and improving wage growth. Turning to factories, market's preliminary February PMI rose to the highest since June, a ray of hope amid signs of global slowdown. Economists say today's final reading will likely show little change. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. S&P futures up 3.5 points, Dow futures up 34, NASDAQ futures up 9. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 2.73%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.1% or 5 cents to $56.54 a barrel. The euro at $1.1326, the yen 111.93. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues on Bloomberg 106.1.
All right, thanks, Karen. It is now 6:07 on Wall Street. Bring in Michael Barr to find out what's happening in the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Attorney General William Barr says he will not recuse himself from being in charge of the Mueller investigation. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Barr says this is due to advice he's gotten from Department of Justice ethics officials. This is significant because it puts him in charge solely of how much of the report will be released and where the investigation goes from there. This has become a political flashpoint as Barr is the recent nominee of President Trump. Democrats in Congress are vowing to force the release of the entire report and the evidence underlying it. Meanwhile, the House Judiciary Committee is in the process of sending out dozens of requests for information about the Trump administration and business operations. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A London man appears to be free of the AIDS virus after a stem cell transplant to treat his cancer. Experts are warning that it may be impractical to use a risky medical procedure to cure the millions infected worldwide. However, the findings have spurred hope for a cure to HIV. AmFAR Vice President Rowena Johnston.
There are risks certainly associated with having these cancers. Normally, if you're a cancer patient who reaches the stage of requiring a stem cell transplant, you are normally fairly ill already.
The study is in the journal Nature. President Trump says FEMA personnel are in Lee County, Alabama, after a devastating tornado that killed about 24 people.
It's at times like this, it's more important than ever to be close with the ones we love and to cherish our friends and our family and to unite as one nation.
Sunday's Twister has now been upgraded to an F4 with more than 170-mile-an-hour winds. The chief of staff to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez told Bloomberg the congresswoman is not completely ruling out Amazon coming back to New York if the process is done with community input. Saiket Chakrabarty says what she was vocal about was the process by which it happened, the deal. He says Amazon is the company that chose to step away from the negotiating table. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks very much. 6:09 is the time now on Wall Street. Let's get the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, looks like the upcoming NBA playoffs will not include LeBron James. He's not only been in the playoffs 14 straight years, he's been in the finals in each of the last eight, but his Lakers lost to the Clippers, and in 2019, they are 9-18. They've dropped 9 of the last 12. They're in 10th place, 5.5 games out from the last playoff spot. Knicks in Sacramento lost 115-108. Buddy Hield, 28 points for the Kings. Rookie Alonzo Trier had 29 for the Knicks, who are back once again with the worst record in the NBA. Much-needed win for the Nets. They had lost three in a row, but they crushed Dallas at Barclays, 127-88. The Nets were up by 44 at one point. They get back to the 500 mark. College hoops. Remember Virginia last year, an NCAA one seed, made history by losing in the first round. Looks like they'll be a one seed again at Syracuse. Virginia trailed at halftime, but dominated the second half. Held Syracuse to 33% shooting. Cavaliers won 79-53. NJIT beat Florida Gulf Coast and advanced to the semifinals of the Atlantic Sun Tourney in Fort Myers. Mets split their squads, beat the Astros 7-4 as Peter Alonso homered. He's batting .412 this spring. As he tries to win the starting first base job, he's competing with Dom Smith. He's batting .500. Had two more hits in a 9-3 loss to the Red Sox. Steven Matz got roughed up in that one. Landon Collins won't get the franchise tag. The Giants' safety will become an unrestricted free agent. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks very much. In other sports news, Ice Cube may be making a push into the sports broadcasting industry in a big way. Bloomberg News has learned that the private equity firm Centerbridge Partners is considering backing the rapper and actor in his bid to buy a group of regional sports networks that Walt Disney is selling. Disney agreed to sell those 22 networks to secure approval for its $71 billion takeover of 21st Century Fox's entertainment assets. Futures pointing to slight gains at the open. S&P futures up 2.5 points right now. Dow futures up 22. NASDAQ futures up 5 points. 10-year Treasury price down 3/32. The yield at 2.73%. The 2-year is at 2.55%. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by New York Community Trust, a public charity working with generous New Yorkers to make an impact on the issues they care about. To set up your fund through the New York Community Trust, visit nycommunitytrust.org.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Erin Roman at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning, Karen. China is cutting its growth target. The country's GDP goal for this year will be 6 to 6.5%. Beijing also announced about $298 billion of tax cuts. President Trump's next trade targets are India and Turkey. The White House is announcing plans to end a program allowing duty-free entry for about 2,000 products from the countries. Shares of Salesforce.com are falling after a revenue forecast that missed estimates. It's stoking concern that Salesforce can't keep up the torrid pace of growth investors have grown accustomed to. And William Barr won't recuse himself from being in charge of Robert Mueller's investigation. The attorney general made the decision after consulting with ethics officials. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, thank you, Erin. And we have this headline, crossing the Bloomberg, Papa John's has reached an agreement and Schnatter has agreed to resign as a board member. Again, that is just crossing the Bloomberg. Right now, futures are higher. S&P futures up 3 points. Dow futures up 30. NASDAQ futures up 8.5. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32. Yield 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year 2.55%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 9 cents to $56.50 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.60 to $12.85.90 an ounce. The euro $1.1330. The yen 111.93. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, California and other Democratic-led states are going to court to block the Trump administration's policy that bars taxpayer-funded health care providers from referring pregnant women for abortion services. Opponents of the new rules say that it will cut off hundreds of millions of dollars of federal funds for Planned Parenthood and other health providers that offer abortion services. There's new hope for a possible cure for HIV. Researchers say a London man appears to be free of the AIDS virus following a stem cell transplant used to treat his cancer. In the NBA, the Nets won going away over the Mavericks, 127-88. The Knicks lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 620 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. The world's second largest economy is slowing. Should you be worried? Chief Asia Economics correspondent Anda Curran joins us from Hong Kong this morning. Anda, what qualifies as slowing when you're China?
Yeah, well, look, just to set a little bit of context and background here, John, what we're talking about is today in Beijing we have the National People's Congress. It's kind of a rubber stamp parliament, and it's where the government presents its big economic plan for the year ahead. And typically what they do is present a growth target. And today what they presented was a growth range for the year ahead of between 6 and 6.5%. And that does confirm that China's economy is on a slowing trajectory. And then to your question, you can go, well, does that mean it's falling over and that the best days of China's economic growth are behind it? Well, the bears would point to significant risks on the debt profile side of things, and they might even say that much of the middle class potential is probably behind it now with an aging population. But on the other hand, there are those who will tell you this is slower growth on a much bigger base. It's a much bigger economy now than when it was growing at 10% or so a decade ago. So there's plenty for both sides of the argument when it comes to China's economy.
Okay, let's talk about the responses. Part of it is to cut taxes, but wait a second. That's going to make the debt legacy even worse, isn't it?
Yes, so this goes to the debate that you were getting at in your question. What they're acknowledging now is there will be slower growth, but at the same time, they're not willing to tolerate the economy slowing too much. So they're going to cut taxes around $300 billion US dollars worth in total. They're saying the budget deficit will go from 2.6 to about 2.8% of GDP, and that means a little more borrowing, a little more spending, and it means that the overall trajectory for total debt in the economy is heading towards 300% of GDP. Now, the point is not the total amount of debt, it's the pace of the build-up of that debt. Much of it has happened over the past decade alone, and much of it, in fact, is in the state-owned corporate sector, and that's what worries people.
Well, to pay for a part of this, you can issue a special purpose bond. What the heck is that?
Well, there are various ways of various funding mechanisms, various funding channels used in the Chinese economy, and the special purpose bond is one of these instruments used at the local government level to try and get financing to those provinces that need it most to fund the kind of infrastructure projects that are needed. But I would say, though, when we're discussing debt, it's important to remember China is not doing the old-school playbook of opening up the checkbook and binge borrowing to fund infrastructure projects, the kind of which will be funded by those bonds that you mentioned. What they are doing now is much more on the supply side or on the tax side of things, which meaning the shift is to fiscal, but it's more about, for the moment at least, it's more about tax cuts than it is about borrowing.
Okay. Those bonds did raise eyebrows because they weren't on the books. But, overall, if you want to be a developed economy, you're going to have to eventually settle for growth that's more normal, like, say, I don't know, 2%.
Which is, and there are economists who will say to you, who will argue that the true growth rate is less than what the official headlines suggest. That's a whole other argument when it comes to China statistics. There are those who say there is deliberate political manipulation, and there are those who say the point is the trend rather than the absolute number. But no matter what the government says, and from their point of view, that they are tolerating a slower pace of growth, that they are setting, which is evidenced by the fact that they are setting now a target or a range lower than they have in recent years. They're looking at the slowest growth in decades now. But the point remains that they are still leaning on the fiscal side of things, they're still leaning on tax cuts, still leaning on extra spending, still leaning on an extra deficit, which points to the argument that they're comfortable with a certain pace of slower growth, but not comfortable allowing the economy to slow too much, because that raises a whole host of other issues for them.
Chief Asia Economics Correspondent Enda Curran in Hong Kong. Thanks a lot, Enda. S&P futures this morning pointing to a higher open on Wall Street right now, about 4 points higher. The Dow futures, they are up 35 points, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures are 10 points higher, with a 10-year yield in the U.S. 2.73%. That is up 1 basis point. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, John. 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. China is looking at the slowest pace of economic growth in almost 3 decades. We get the details from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie at the National People's Congress gathering in Beijing.
China's Premier Li Keqiang warned of struggles ahead as he announced a GDP target of 6 to 6.5% for 2019. That is the softest target the government has ever set itself for GDP growth. They also announced a deficit target, increasing that to 2.8% from 2.6%. That is to allow them to fund additional fiscal measures, including $300 billion worth of cuts to taxes and fees aimed primarily at the manufacturing sector and at private businesses. Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thanks. In the euro area, economic activity was stronger than expected in February as an improving services sector managed to offset a slump in industry. IHS Markit says services expanded across the 19-nation bloc, bolstered by gains in Germany, Ireland, and Spain.
In the UK, Prime Minister Theresa May faces a divided cabinet today. This as ministers head to Brussels to seek concessions from the European Union.
President Trump is announcing plans to end key trade preference programs for India and Turkey. It's the latest move by the U.S. to counter what it calls unfair trade practices.
In Tokyo, Carlos Ghosn's impending release from jail is in jeopardy. A court-approved bail for the former Nissan chairman. But prosecutors are now appealing the decision.
Shares of Salesforce.com are down 2.5%. Details live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Nate, Salesforce gave a revenue forecast that fell short of estimates. It's raising concern that the cloud software maker's growth has stalled. The projected revenue increase of 22% in the current quarter would be the smallest year-over-year gain since at least 2010. And that's disappointed shareholders who were looking for stronger growth. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Watching Target earnings crossing the Bloomberg. Fourth quarter profit meeting analyst estimates. Fourth quarter comp sales, though, beat up 5.3%. And it sees profit for the year beating analyst estimates. Shares up 1.8% in early trading.
And Papa John's and John Schnatter have announced a settlement agreement. Under the terms, Schnatter will resign from the board, and he dismissed a lawsuit filed in Delaware.
Futures this morning higher. S&P futures up 3.5 points. Dow futures up 29. Nasdaq futures up 9. DAX in Germany's down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32. The yield at 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year 2.55%. And the euro is at $1.1331. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. 6:33 on Wall Street. The news update is brought to you by Stevens Institute of Technology, the Quant School on the Hudson. Visit their Hoboken campus April 6th for a graduate open house. Learn more at stevens.edu/open house. Now here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. It is a big development affecting the fate of the probe into President Donald Trump. Attorney General William Barr said he will not recuse himself from being in charge of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. The president repeatedly attacked and ridiculed his first Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, for recusing himself based on his role in Trump's campaign. Opponents of President Trump's emergency declaration to fund his border wall appear to have the votes they need to overturn his action. Republicans now have to choose between supporting President Trump and defending control over federal spending. Senator Rand Paul speaking on Capitol Hill.
Most of us think it would be an emergency if, you know, there's a television show where the State of the Union, everything blows up and everybody dies. That would be an emergency. You know, people incapacitated by anthrax, that's an emergency.
Paul says he's voting no and will vote to block the emergency declaration. President Trump promises to veto any bill blocking his use of emergency powers. Hillary Clinton is putting to rest any speculation about another race for president in 2020.
I'm not running, but I'm going to keep working and speaking and standing up for what I believe.
Clinton, speaking to News 12 Westchester, says she still plans to work with the Democratic candidates. HUD Secretary Ben Carson says that he will likely leave the Trump administration at the end of President Trump's term in 2020. It brings hope for a cure to HIV. A stem cell treatment has put a London patient's AIDS-causing infection into remission. According to today's report in the journal Nature, the patient has been in remission for about 18 months. Researchers say, though, it is too soon to label the treatment as a cure, but it definitely spurs hope. AMFAR Vice President Rowena Johnston.
There are, I think, really promising signs from the London patient because he received a reduced intensity chemotherapy regimen, meaning that it was much less harsh on his body, and yet the procedure was still successful.
The so-called Berlin patient was also being treated for cancer. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, Nets and Knicks with different goals at this point. Nets trying to hold on, make the playoffs. Knicks want to win the NBA draft lottery in a couple of months. In that regard, both teams helped their causes at Barclays. The Nets ended a three-game losing streak, 127-88 over Dallas. Damari Carroll hit 5 of 7 three-pointers. Was asked how the Nets shot 57%.
I think it's defense. Once we get rolling on the defensive end, our offense easily come. But we just got to keep focusing on the defensive end, and everything else will take care of itself.
Nets back to 500. Knicks had that mini win streak, 2 straight 3-4, but they're back to having the NBA's worst record. They lost at Sacramento, 115-108. Rookie Alonzo Trier, 29 points in defeat. In L.A., the Clippers beat the Lakers, whose playoff hopes are fading fast. College hoops in Syracuse, Virginia made 18 three-pointers and won 79-53. Virginia now 27-2. Outscored the Orange in the second half, 47-19. NJIT with a win in the Atlantic Sun tourney. They'll play in the semifinals on Thursday. The Mets have hired two former pitching greats, Al Leiter and John Franco, as advisors in baseball operations. Leiter recently quit his job as a Yankees broadcaster. Yanks were off. The Mets split their squads. They beat the Astros 7-4 in West Palm. They lost to the Red Sox 9-3 in Port St. Lucie. Steven Matz, 2 2/3, gave up 4 runs, 2 hits for Tim Tebow. Tiger Woods has a strained neck. He pulled out of this week's Arnold Palmer tourney at Bay Hill. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
The U.S. Navy wants to renew its authority to send loud sonar blasts into the Pacific and Indian Oceans, where endangered whales are found. And opponents of the sonar testing now see the new proposal's 30-day notice and comment window as a chance to protest. The sonar tests have been taking place for years, but must be reauthorized for military activities every 7 years. In its proposal, the National Marine Fisheries Service said the Navy had asked for authorization to incidentally harass 46 species of marine mammals while testing sonar systems aboard surveillance ships. The agency says the systems used in wartime to detect enemy submarines are critical to the Navy's mission. 11 of the species that generally live in the testing areas are listed as endangered or threatened, including several kinds of whales. The fisheries agency says no marine mammals would be killed or injured, but that the tests could disrupt their migration, breathing, nursing, breeding, feeding, and sheltering. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Thanks, Bob. 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg editorial board. H.R. 1, the legislation in Congress that proposes numerous electoral and public ethics reforms, amounts to an indictment of the corrosion in the machinery of American government. The 571-page omnibus promises to make voting easier, strengthen ethics laws for government officials, and reduce the influence of money in politics. After Russia's activities in 2016, there shouldn't be any dispute about the need for security upgrades to the nation's patchwork voting systems. The bill's efforts to make voting easier are similarly overdue, and the legislation would improve transparency by requiring super PACs to disclose donors who contribute more than $10,000. The machinery of American government is sorely in need of repair, and putting that right should not be a partisan endeavor. This bill deserves serious consideration. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg editorial board. For more Bloomberg opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:39 on Wall Street, a research agency targeted for a downgrade by the Trump administration is also an agency that's key in evaluating patient care. Nancy Lyons has more from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The administration wants to focus on value, but it could be undermining that goal, trying to diminish the role of the agency for healthcare research and quality.
As they are pushing for a value-based system, this is an agency that studies the value of certain processes within the healthcare system.
Bloomberg Law's Jeannie Bauman says the proposal is to downgrade ARC by placing it under the National Institutes of Health.
It would potentially create less money for the NIH as they have to now fund health services research in a way that they hadn't been doing before.
The idea has been turned away in the past by Congress and could suffer the same fate this time. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Nancy. Turns out Tesla CEO Elon Musk blindsided his own employees when he announced he was closing most of his company's stores. Bloomberg has learned many employees found out about the shift to online-only sales when Tesla published a blog post about it Thursday. Tesla shares have fallen about 11% since then. And JetBlue is stoking speculation. It's about to order long-range planes and start transatlantic flights. The airline has invited its employees to a special event next month with an invitation whose background resembles London Underground seat covers. Coming up on 6:41 on Wall Street, straight ahead, we check in on what's happening in the nation's capital, where investigations into President Trump are expanding significantly. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us next on Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Shares of Target are jumping following its earnings, and U.S. stock index futures are higher. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Modest gains in the futures right now, with Dow futures up 35 points. S&P's gained 3, while the Nasdaq futures climbed by 8. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.74%. And China cut its growth target and announced a major tax cut overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed right now. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, market U.S. services and composite PMIs. And at 10 o'clock, ISM, non-manufacturing index, and new home sales. After the bell last night, Salesforce revenue forecast missed estimates. And regarding earnings this morning, like you said, Target shares are up 5% in the pre-market. Q4 comps beat estimates and look for Kohl's to report around 7 a.m. In other news, Alaska Air cut its forecast for Q1 unit revenue. And Tesla cars are being held up in China customs on a labeling issue. Wrapping things up, Ingersoll Rand was added to conviction buy list at Goldman Sachs, and Immunogen upgraded to equal weight over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Attorney General William Barr says he will not recuse himself from being in charge of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. Barr has the power to decide how much of Mueller's final report he has provided to Congress and made public. President Donald Trump is slamming a new House probe, calling the wide-ranging investigation ridiculous. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler says his panel is looking into possible obstruction of justice, corruption, and abuse of power. Scientists may have cured a second patient of HIV. According to the journal Nature, the patient who has been treated for cancer has been in remission for about 19 months. In the NBA, the Nets walloped the Mavericks 127-88. The Knicks lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, it is going to be harder for shoplifters. A Japanese startup, VAC, developed AI software that hunts for potential thieves using footage from security cameras for fidgeting and other suspicious body language and alerting staff via an app. The goal is prevention. Nathan, if the target is approached and asked if they need help, there's a chance the theft never happens.
Yeah, but there's always the privacy concerns, right? I mean, it feels like Big Brother is another step ahead here. I don't know. I mean, they're a fidgety people, right?
I'm tailed by your response. You're in the no column, I can see.
Global. I'm just asking questions.
Yeah, okay. All right. Devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I guess.
Global news, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm fidgety. I'm Michael. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right. Thank you, Michael. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of our top stories in the nation's capital include a House Judiciary Subcommittee holding a hearing today on protecting dreamers and temporary protected status recipients. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee holds a closed-door hearing today on North Korea denuclearization following the Hanoi summit. And later today, President Trump signs an executive order on a national roadmap to empower veterans and end veteran suicide. Also making news this morning, a major escalation in the investigations into President Trump. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins me. And we were talking just yesterday, Kathleen, about House Judiciary Chairman Gerald Nadler planning to make document requests to dozens of people. Boy, did he.
Yeah, he definitely did. And, you know, the White House is not too happy about it. But I think this does show, as you said, a sort of a significant escalation here. And it shows that the committee that would be in charge of any impeachment proceedings intends to have, you know, a full and thorough investigation into some of the allegations that have been aired against President Trump and his associates.
Now, you mentioned potential impeachment proceedings, but the Democrats, at least in public, have been saying this isn't what that is, at least not yet.
Absolutely, because that would be premature to say that this would be, you know, on the path to impeachment. But of course, it's not a coincidence that, and from a political standpoint, Democrats don't want to seem like they're rushing to judgment or getting out ahead of Robert Mueller's report, which still hasn't been submitted. His investigation is still ongoing. And so, but I think, you know, the reality is that the Congress has an oversight function when it comes to the presidency, and the Constitution gives the House of Representatives the power to impeach the president, and this is the committee that would handle that. And so I think that, you know, depending on what they did find down the road, this is a significant step in that direction.
How crucial is the release of the Mueller report to the investigations that Democrats are mounting now? Because the line we're hearing from the White House is that, you know, the Judiciary Committee is expanding these investigations because it's afraid that the Russia probe is falling apart.
Yeah, I mean, it's understandable that the White House would make that claim. It's not particularly clear to me that the White House might have any insight necessarily into Robert Mueller's probe and what the conclusions are going to be. But I think that it's important to remember two things. One is the timing that, again, I think that whatever Mueller does conclude in his final report, that could form the basis for some kind of a judiciary inquiry. But it doesn't mean that the Congress is limited by that. So certainly they can investigate things that even are outside the scope of what Mueller is looking into. And so I think that the sense is from the Democrats is that it makes sense to kind of get the ball rolling on that now. And certainly, you know, if the Mueller report does turn out to be somewhat of a nothing burger, I think it's hard to argue that given the number of people that have already been indicted as part of it. But if that does turn out to be the case, as it pertains to Trump specifically, then, you know, that doesn't necessarily stop the congressional, the legislative branch and the Congress from doing its own investigation.
And of course, we heard from Attorney General William Barr last night that he will not be recusing himself from the Mueller investigation. Does that raise the question anew of whether the final report and the details behind it in the Mueller probe will be released?
Absolutely. So in some ways, it's really not that surprising that Barr isn't going to recuse himself. I don't think anyone really expected him to. He didn't indicate that in his, confirmation hearing. But, you know, there's already Democrats are already kind of girding for a fight about the release of the Mueller report. They want to have it turned over to Congress and released to the public. And Barr, when he testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, was not necessarily prepared to promise that. And so I think that this is one of the other sort of next stages that we're seeing. seeing, which is, you know, Democrats sort of preparing to fight against the Justice Department to get access to the report and make sure that it's released to the public. And again, that's another reason why, from the House Judiciary Committee's perspective, it makes sense to do their own investigation in that, you know, if they, so that they aren't necessarily constricted by what the Justice Department ultimately determines in terms of the release of the Mueller report, if they do their own investigation as well.
What could this fight over the release of the Mueller report look like? Because, I mean, we've had, over history, a number of cases where Congress and the executive branch have butted heads over disclosure and executive privilege.
Well, certainly. And I think a lot of folks like myself are reading up on exactly the details of how that played out. There was a 1974 landmark Supreme Court case that dealt with the release of the Watergate tapes. President Nixon tried to claim executive privilege to say that he shouldn't have to release those tapes. He ultimately was not successful in doing that. And that precedent that established is something that likely would be relied upon if Trump does try to claim executive privilege to prevent him from turning over certain documents to Congress or based on a court order. And so I think that is a precedent that we're likely to see people turning back to and perhaps could be reshaped in the coming weeks.
What are you looking for as far as the release of the Mueller report or the submission of the Mueller report to the Justice Department? Do you see it happening in days or weeks?
I have a feeling it could be this week, but that's just a personal hunch. It just kind of has the feeling of something that could be concluding. But, you know, that being said, Mueller has surprised everyone kind of all along. And in terms of, you know, how thorough and how long he's been taking to come to his conclusions. And, you know, the investigation and the Mueller team has been very, very tight-lipped. So I think that there's not a whole lot of information, concrete information out there about when the report's going to be submitted. But it certainly has the feeling of something that's coming.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always. Read more of these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal and listen to Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Yeah, good morning, Karen. Alibaba's business-to-business trading platform has forged its first U.S. partnership with a large company as it teams up with Office Depot. Now, the collaboration will give U.S. entrepreneurs and small business owners access to a single online destination through which they can access one of the world's largest catalogs of goods and services. Another target is to improve cross-border distribution and fulfillment for U.S. small and medium-sized businesses and eventually help them sell in the U.S. and around the world through Alibaba.com. This partnership gives the Chinese online retailer access to about 10 million business customers. The new partnership will allow the small businesses to link with Alibaba.com's global network of over 150,000 suppliers, offering next-day delivery. Jerry Smith, CEO of Office Depot, says this offers small companies one-stop shopping, saving them time and money. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
John Tucker, thank you. We continue to watch shares of Target. They're currently up 5.5% in early trading. It followed up its strong holiday sales with upbeat projections for the current year, distancing itself from the struggles of mall-based department stores. And we'll continue to watch those shares throughout the day. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.